ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the book of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidahullah. Then last time we had the segment, the saying of the author Shaykh al-Islam, where he mentioned a number of different types of worship, and he mentioned, and from it is ad-du'a, supplication, and al-khawf, fear, and ar-raja, hope and longing, until the end of the list. So this time, in this section, which is on page 133 of the Lebanese print and page 103 of the Egyptian print, there comes the saying of the author, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, to which Shaykh al-Fawzan's edition here brings a heading, Al-Khawfu Anwa'uhu wa Daliluhu. Because we had last time that the first thing mentioned in that list of acts of worship was ad-du'a, supplication. We had that ad-du'a is of two types, du'a'u ibadah, the du'a that is implicit within an act of worship, and du'a'u mas'ala, the du'a that is a direct request to Allah. So then this week he moves on to explain the next two, al-khawf, fear, and ar-raja, hope and longing. So with regard to the first of these two, then Shaykh al-Fawzan's edition here gives the heading, al-khawfu anwa'uhu wa daliluhu, fear. So all of these being acts of worship. Fear, its types and its proof. Then comes the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, وَدَلِيلُ الْخَوْفِ وَدَلِيلُ الْخَوْفِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. الآية من سورة آل عمران. And the proof for fear, I mean the proof that fear is an act of worship, is his saying, He the Most High, that, the ayah with the explanation, ayah from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 175, with the explanation, that is just Satan. He incites you to fear his allies. So do not fear them, but rather fear me, if you are truly believers. As a side point here, in all the other editions, besides the edition of that Shaykh al-Fawzan is explaining here, in all the other editions, it only has the second part there. The first part, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ, is not present in all the editions of the word. Just those who are memorizing the text, that is not present in all the other editions. All the other editions just have the second part as the evidence, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, with the explanation, so do not fear them, but rather fear me, if you are truly believers. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, al-khawf, fear, is a type from the types of ibadah, from the types of worship. And it is an act of worship of the heart. Ibadatun qalbiyya. It is an act of worship of the heart. Just the same as is the case with al-khawf, fear, and al-khashya, awe, and al-raghba, fervent desire, and al-rahba, dread, and al-raja, hope and longing, and al-tawakkul, trust and reliance. All of these are acts of worship of the heart. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan goes on to explain what actually is, having made clear that khawf is a form of worship, to explain what is khawf. He said, and al-khawf, هو توقع المكروه. Fear is apprehension of something unpleasant. Apprehension, meaning of the coming of something unpleasant. And it is of two types. Fear is of two types. خوف العبادة وخوف الطبيعي. Fear, which is worship, in what's been referred to in this section here. That's the first type of fear. Fear, that is worship. And the second type is al-khawf al-tabi'i, natural fear. In fear that is not counted as worship, fear which is not worship. So fear is of two types, fear, which is worship, and natural fear. And then Sheikh al-Fawzan goes on to explain each in detail. So he begins with the first type. I said the first type, khawf al-ibadah. Fear which is worship, directing this to other than Allah is shirk. And then he explains what that is. What is the fear that is worship? The fear that is, if it is directed to other than Allah, it will be shirk. He said, and that is that a person fears someone other than Allah with regard to something which no one besides Allah is able to do. So just repeat that. He said, that is, the fear which is worship, is that a person fears someone other than Allah with regard to something which no one besides Allah is able to do. And then he gives examples, such as his fearing someone being able to cause him to become ill, or being able to take his soul, or to cause his child to die, as is done by many of the ignorant people. Many of the ignorant people, they have this fear. They fear that someone will make them ill, or that someone will take their soul, or cause their children to die. He said, they fear regarding their wives' pregnancy and for their children from the jinn. They fear for that from the jinn. They fear as-sahara, they fear sorcerers, magicians. Or they fear the dead. And so therefore they do actions involving shirk to free themselves from this fear. Then the Shaykh said, commenting, so this is something, in all these things I've just mentioned, causing someone to become sick, causing a person's child to die, so on and so forth. He said, this is something which no one is able to do but Allah. Illnesses, and death, and bringing provision, and cutting off lifespan. These matters, no one is able to do them, except Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And likewise sending down barakah, sending down blessings, or other than that. These matters cannot come about except from Allah the Mighty and Majestic. So if he, meaning the person, so if he fears anyone with regard to anything which only Allah can carry out, then this is shirkun akbar. This is major shirk, meaning the shirk that takes a person outside the fold of Islam. So this is major shirk, because it is diverting a type of worship to other than Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then the Shaykh gives some examples of that. Like those who have fear of the graves, and of the tombs, and of the jinn, and of the devils, that they can strike them with evil, or cause some harm to descend upon them. And so therefore, they go and perform actions of nearness to these things, to repel their harm or out of fear of them. هذا شرك أكبر. This is major shirk. He says, mean such a person, he says, I fear if I don't make a sacrifice for him, I mean for a person in the grave or so forth, the person who does it, he makes an excuse. He says, I fear that if I don't make a sacrifice for him, that he will afflict me with something, or afflict my children, or my wealth, or the like of that. Just as was said by the people of Hud. And the same idea occurs in the statement of the people of Hud, and the Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the first part of the ayah in that regard. إِنَّ قُولُ إِلَّا أَتَرَاكَ بَعْضُ آلِهَتِنَا بِسُوءٍ. Ayah 54 from Surah Hud, the 11th Surah. The explanation in the context of what the people of Hud responded when Hud alayhi salam called his people to the truth, this is how they responded. That they said, all that we say is that some of our gods have struck you with evil. I mean, what you're saying is just a result that some of our gods have struck you with evil, so therefore you're saying these things which are strange to us. All that we say is that some of our gods have struck you with evil. Shaykh Fawzan said, they threatened him with their gods and they tried to make him fear their gods, their objects of worship. And Shaykh quotes the next two ayahs. قَالَ إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ وَاشْهَدُوا أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ مِن دُونِهِ فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْظِرُونَ إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. As we said, Surah Hud, the 11th Surah, ayahs 54-56, with the explanation that he said in response, he said, I call Allah to witness, and you should bear witness, that I am free of whatever you associate in worship along with him. So plot all of you against me, and don't give me any respite. I have placed my reliance upon Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Shaykh Fawzan said, هذا هو التوحيد. This is Tawheed. He challenged them, all of them and their idols. فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْذِرُونَ. The last part of I 55 with the explanation again. So then all of you plot against me, and then don't give me any respite. Shaykh Fawzan said, don't give me some time, rather plot against me from this moment. And they were not able to do anything against him. Rather, Allah aided him against them. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, so the person who fears other than Allah with regard to things that only Allah can do, then he has committed a shirk al-akbar. He has committed major shirk. And this is called khawf al-ibadah, the fear which is worship. Wa khawf al-shirk. And it's called the khawf, the fear which is shirk. Then he said, many people have fear of the graves or of the awliya, the servants of Allah, the beloved and obedient servants of Allah. They fear a shaitan, they fear Satan, they fear the jinn. And therefore, they do acts of devotion, putting forward offerings to them, putting forward sacrifices for them, and making vows, and giving foods, and other than that, such as throwing money upon their tombs in order to be saved from their evil or to attain something from their good. then this is khawfum ibadah. This is fear, which is worship. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he moves on to explain this second type of fear, that fear which is not worship. He said, al-khawfu tabi'i. The second type, al-khawfu tabi'i. Natural fear. And it is that you fear something which is zahir. You fear something which is visible, which is clear, apparent. Which is able to do that which you fear from it. Such as you're fearing a snake or a scorpion or an enemy. These are matters which are clear, which are visible and are well-known matters. So fearing them is not called shirk. In fearing a snake, fearing a scorpion, fearing a visible enemy. This is not called shirk. This is natural fear of something which is apparent and known. Because you are fearing a sabab, a means, which is clear and apparent. And something which it is desirable, something which it is desirable for you to protect yourself from and to take precaution against. So therefore you take up weapons. You take up a stick to kill a snake or a scorpion and to kill a wild animal. Because these are matters which are felt with the senses. And they contain well-known harm. So if you fear them, then this is not called shirk. Rather it is called khawfan tabi'iyan. It's called natural fear. I mean, as Shaykh said, these are natural, visible things that we know and see and experience, and we know or we've seen or we'll experience the harm which they can cause. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan gives an evidence for this type of natural fear. He said, and therefore Allah said with regard to Musa alayhi salam, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا. And the ayah, or this part of the ayah, is from Surah Al-Qasas, 28th Surah, ayah 21. And it's in the context of the story of Musa alayhi salam when he left the city of Fir'aun after he had killed one of their people. Then he had a fight and the person died. And Musa alayhi salam, he left that place. And as occurs here, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا. The explanation, so he departed from it in a state of fear. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning from the city. خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. The explanation, fearful looking about. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, having fear of his enemies, because he had killed one of them. And he, meaning Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, he fled and went to Madian, went to the town of Madian. And he was on the lookout. And he was fearing that they would catch him. So this is khawfun tabi'i. This is natural fear. However, a person needs to learn to seek shelter and protection in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and to take hold of the means through which he can repel harm. And he relies upon Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and has tawakkul, has reliance upon Allah. Allah, he said, He the Most High said, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. The main ayah, the evidence quoted by Shaykh al-Islam, Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 175. With the explanation, so do not fear them, and do not fear the allies of Satan, but rather fear me if you are truly believers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this ayah is in the surah Ali Imran, in the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, along with the people of Shirk on the day of Uhud. On the day of Uhud in Medina, in the third year of the Hijrah in Medina, day of Uhud, the battle of Uhud. When the people of Shirk threatened them and said, we will return to them and wipe them out. This was a threat made by the people of Shirk, the people of Mecca, with regard to the Muslims. We are going to return and wipe them out. So therefore Allah, the Mighty, Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So therefore in this context, the ayah came down with the explanation, that is just Satan. He incites you to fear his allies. So do not fear them, but rather fear me, if you are truly believers. Fawzan said, this warning and this threat was just from Satan. Meaning, he causes you, he tries to cause you to fear his allies. Or to cause whoever will submit to him to fear from the people and to fear him. Then he will gain ascendancy over them. I mean, whoever does so, whoever does fear him, then he will gain ascendancy over them. And that's where Shaykh Fawzan ends the explanation on that point with regard to khawf. Just as a side point, there's some of the explainers, and amongst them Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, when they explain the different types of khawf, some of them break it into three categories. The first of them being, as we heard here, the same here as the second one here, al-khawf al-tabi'i, natural fear. Then they break the remaining fear into two categories. So our Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, for example, he mentioned the second category of khawf is khawf al-ibadah, that fear which is direct worship. He said that he fears a person and holds fearing him as an act of worship. So this type of fear cannot be except for Allah. And directing it to other than Allah the Most High is major shirk. And then he divides the third category. He says, Al-Khawf al-Sir, secret fear, hidden, secret, supernatural fear. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen explains that by saying, such as fearing someone in a grave, or a wali, a servant of Allah who is far removed from this person, who cannot affect him. However, he still fears him, fearing that he can have a secret effect upon him. Then the scholars have also mentioned that this is from shirk. In other words, it's this categorization that they heard, as the Shaykh said, but still this third one, the scholars still mention it as being shirk. It's just, instead of dividing it into two, dividing it into three. Then, the addition of Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he brings a small heading, الرَّجَاءُ وَدَلِيلُ. الرَّجَاء, hope and longing, and its proof. Then the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, وَدَلِيلُ الرَّجَاءُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. He said, and the proof for ar-raja, hope and longing, is his saying, He the Most High. And he quotes the ayah from Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, ayah 110, with the explanation. So whoever has hope in the meeting with his Lord and in his reward, then let him perform righteous actions and not associate anyone in worship with his Lord. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, he's saying, He the Most High, man kana yarju, whoever has raja, whoever, with the explanation, whoever hopes, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning he has hope for the reward of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. and in seeing him openly on the day of resurrection. Whoever has hope in seeing Allah with his eyes, seeing Allah openly on the day of resurrection, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, then let him perform righteous deeds. Shaykh Fawzan said, he should carry out the sabab. Whoever has that hope, he has that hope and wants that, then he should carry out the means, the sabab, which will enable him to attain this goal, which is the reward of entry into paradise and of being saved from the fire. وَالنَّظَرْ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ, and of looking at the face of Allah, looking upon the face of Allah. This necessarily follows on. And these things necessarily follow on. Whoever enters into paradise has been saved from the fire, and whoever enters into paradise will look upon the face of his Lord. And the Shaykh said, because whoever enters paradise, then he will see Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Same ayah with the explanation. So whoever has hope in the meeting with his Lord, then let him perform righteous deeds. Shaykh Fawzan said, this shows that raja, hope, alone is not sufficient. Hope on its own is not sufficient. Rather, there must be amal, there must be action. As for your just having hope in Allah, only just having hope, that's it, you just have hope. As for your just having hope in Allah, but you do not act, then this is to abandon the use of the means. Obviously, which is something which is not praiseworthy. Then he said, so ar-raja al-mahmood, so praiseworthy hope, is that which occurs along with righteous action. You have hope and you perform righteous action. As for hoping which is not praiseworthy, then it is hope which does not have righteous action along with it. Then Shaykh Fawzan explains what is righteous action. Al-amal al-salih, he said, and al-amal al-salih, righteous action, is that which fulfills two conditions. The first is al-ikhlas lahu azza wa jal. The first condition for an action to be an amal al-salih, righteous action, is al-ikhlas, that it is done purely and sincerely for him, the Mighty and Majestic. And the second condition is al-mutaba'ah lir-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is done following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So an action will not be salih, will not be righteous, unless it fulfills these two conditions, that it is done purely and sincerely seeking the face of Allah, it does not contain any shirk, and that it should be sawaban, it should be a correct action done upon the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not containing bid'ah, innovation. So if the two conditions are met, then it will be salih, a righteous action. And if any condition is missing, then it will be amalan fasidan, it will be a corrupt action. It will not benefit the person who does it. So action which contains shirk will be rejected for the person. And likewise, action which contains bid'ah, innovation, it will be rejected for the person. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُونَ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our affair, then it will be rejected. The hadith, as I mentioned earlier on in a footnote, been reported by Al-Bukhari in disconnected form, straight after hadith number 7350, and being reported by Muslim in connected form as hadith 1718, number 17. Obviously from famous hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, Whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our affair, then it is rejected. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, finishing, so this ayah, the ayah from Surah Al-Kahf, the last ayah from Surah Al-Kahf, this ayah contains ar-raja, hope and longing, and that it is an act of worship to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And it shows that ar-raja, hope, will not be correct except along with righteous action. And just as a final side point here before we complete or conclude, then Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, he mentioned in his explanation that ar-raja is divided into two categories. That having hope is of two categories. Hope and longing, or raja, is of two categories. The first being permissible, and the second being impermissible. So he mentioned the first one, the permissible hope, which is that you have hope from a created being, that he should give you a loan, for example. The Shaykh just quotes an example, meaning that you have hope in a created being with regard to something he's able to do for you. So the Shaykh gives the example of him giving you a loan. So he said, which is that you have hope with regard to a created being, that he gives you a loan, for example, so that you can overcome some monetary problems which you are having. Then there is no problem with this. There's no problem in this type of hope. Having hope, even though it's hope of a created being, but it's with regard to something he can do. I'll give you a loan. He's able to give you a loan. So you hope that he will. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. And the Shaykh mentions the second type of hope. However, the hope which is prohibited is that you have hope in him, meaning with regard to a created being. You have hope in him, hoping from him, something that only Allah is able to carry out. With regard to curing a sick person, or sending down rain, or removing bodily ailments, or giving a child, and the like of that. That is the type that is not permitted with regard to creation. And it's only permissible that you have that hope with regard to Allah the Most High. That would be, as Shaykh made clear, an act of worship. Hoping for Allah, those things that only Allah is able to carry out. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And the next act of worship in the list here that the Shaykh goes on to explain is at-tawakkul, placing reliance and dependence on Allah. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Thank you.